I cannot emphasize enough on the importance of these topics or this series of topics of the personalities. It's very important at the personal level to be able to understand the other's personality. It helps you at home. It helps you with your partner, with your wife, or with your husband, with your kids, if you have kids, with your colleagues at work, in church, in service, to understand where are the others coming from. It is not necessarily I see it the right way, and it might be the right way means it is right for the others. So we'll just quickly, very quickly, hopefully in 5 minutes or less, skim over the last over the first 20 slides that summarize how many personalities we talked about before. Do you remember? Two. What they are? I don't blame you because it's been long. So, okay. So the first thing we said that our personalities is made in heaven. God created our personality. It is an amazing creation of God. He did it in purpose. We are all different, and God make us different in purpose, so we can complete each other and help each other. So no one is better than the other. No personality is better than the other. All the personalities has strengths. All the personalities had weakness. And this strength and weakness, God used it for his own purpose, for a plan he prepared for us before. We said before the definition of personality is a set of emotional qualities, ways of behaving, etc., makes a person different from other people. And the attributes are how I am thinking, the head, how I am feeling, the heart, how I am acting is the hand. So this is what we call it, the 3H, head, heart, and hand. The building blocks of the personality, God created the personality. And there is a big part of this we inherited, like it or not, from our parents through the genes. And the new studies found that chromosome 6 and 11 specifically are responsible for the characteristics of the personality that we inherit from our bodies. And this is all science. It has nothing to do with religion, but it is proved by science that what we are talking about. And then many other factors that built on top of the pure picture that God created inside us in the genes, in the personality that God created us to be. And on top of that, we find that our parents, they put stuff with a good will in our personality that might destroy our personality or might destroy the good picture that God created the personality. They are trying to discipline us. They are trying to teach us. But based on their limited knowledge, they might scratch or break this good image that God created. And this is the first scratch or distortion. Then the way we are disciplined at home, at school, in church, that might as well, maybe with a good intention, make another impact or effect of destroying this beautiful image that God created. And then comes education, what you take in education, what they teach you, what they fill your head of. Put on top of that the social media around you, the social life, the friends. And of course, sin has a big factor in destroying this pure personality that God created in us. And the culture of the country or where we lived, this is how we used to think. So as you see, it's like an onion shape. The pure picture is very little in the middle, and then layers and layers and layers of things that covered and made a distraction to this beautiful picture that God created. So what is God trying to do is to peel off these layers to get us back to this original picture. Question, is that mean God trying to change our personality? No. He is working with your strengths. Meaning you have strengths in certain area, might not be with Ramiz. Ramiz has a strength in area, might not be with Nancy, and so on. So everyone has a strength. I'm good in organizing, I'm good in singing, I'm good in speaking, I'm good in whatever. So we all together make the one, the unity, the one body of Christ. You can't live without hand, and if the hand is important, you can say, oh, I'm the most important, I don't need the leg. Or the leg say, oh, I'm more important, I don't need the eye. Or I don't need the ear, or I don't need the mouth. Every member of the body has its own functionality and its own importance. The four types of personalities, quickly. The perfect, and it has the green color, and the symbol of it is owl, and this is all scientific studies. It's not anybody invented it. If anyone's studying psychology, you will know that. And these are standard colors. The peaceful or the emotional person, the symbol of the dove and the blue color. The powerful or the leader. And as we see, we have a red flashing light warning. This is a type of personality, the powerful, and it's symbol, no wonder, by the eagle. And the popular or the expressive, which is so proud of himself, the peacock, and the color of it is yellow. So we all have piece of each. We are combination. It's like when you have a recipe, if you are preparing a cake, like if I say to Hala, prepare us a cake, and I say to Nancy, prepare us a cake, they might come, most probably they will come up completely different. Why? Because she put more butter versus Nancy, she put more sugar, whatever. But the ingredients are the same. We have flour, we have butter, we have sugar, we have water, we have whatever. But the percentage is different. We are the same. So this piece of pie or cake that our personality is created of, someone has more of this and less of that. Keeping in mind that from the studies, or if anyone did any courses in personalities or psychology, you find that even with the same person, your personality, when you are happy, can be completely different when you are under stress. Some people doesn't change much on the spectrum, but some people are moving from the far right to the far left of the spectrum on when they are under stress. Someone can be very social when he is happy, but when he is under stress, he just go and chill and doesn't talk to anyone and completely not a person, people. So this all, the combination that impacts our personality. We spoke the first time about the peaceful, and we said the peaceful is like St. John, and the strengths of this person, he is beloved, he has excess amount of emotion, he is sincere, honor, meek, and humble. I'm not going through details because we need to fly to get to our lesson. The weakness of this person, he has a very strong emotional needs that goes to the extent of emotional dependency. He is subordination, he is a follower. When he loves people, he tend to follow them. The third weakness, he is extra sensitive. Yes. Personalities. It shows in the behavior, it doesn't change the personality, but it makes certain parts at certain time stronger. Let's say you are peaceful and perfectionist. The main character of the peaceful is very emotional and people-oriented. The perfectionist is very analytical and so specific. So maybe you move in the spectrum of the peaceful to the spectrum of the, they are both inside you, but this appears more, and for sure it appears in the behavior. And this is what we said in the second or third slide, that personality is a combination of thinking, feelings, and behavior. Thank you. That's a good point. The Lord treatment for the peaceful personality is he fulfills his needs, uses his talent, and give him a thick skin so he will not be very sensitive. The next one is the popular, which is Saint Peter. Courage, talkative, charismatic, influencing. He jumps to action very quickly, and he might jump back from action. He just follows the crowd. He like to be. He is more like showy, and his weakness, his impulsive, the ego, the pride, the proud. He is very moody, and the Lord treatment for this personality. We said that the main problem of this personality is a pride. So the main treatment for this personality, God has to break this pride to bring him back. Today, we will be talking about the powerful personality, or Saint Paul. Would you like to read for us?
Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder, against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the gods." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But when they led him by the hand and brought him into the Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake."
So as you see, what we are talking about today is the powerful personality, or the Pauline personality, or the personality of Saint Paul. And of course, the personality of Saint Paul is a very, very rich personality. We can spend weeks and weeks. One of the things that I hope to achieve one time is to finish reading the book of Saint Paul that Father Matt Al-Maskin wrote. It's a book that big. So it is a very rich life that we can learn from it. What are the strengths of the powerful personality? Or if you know nothing about the powerful personality, let's talk about Saint Paul. What is the character of Saint Paul? What do you think? What is the strength of this personality? Does anyone like Saint Paul? Yes.
Bold.
Yes. That can be good or bad. And sometimes So it's a two-edged sword. Absolutely. What else? What else, when I say Saint Paul, what do you think of him?
Courage.
Courage, yes. What else? Anyone like Saint Paul here?
Leader.
This is the main character of Saint Paul. He's a leader. He's a leader by nature.
Charismatic.
Yeah, but maybe the popular is more charismatic because he's more showy. The powerful is more practical and sharp, as you said in the beginning, bold, to the point. So he doesn't care much about his image. Whatever right, I will save it. I will say it no matter what. In Arabic we say, "Yul al-awar awar fa'il." He doesn't care. Okay, so let's go through the strengths. First thing, he is a leader by nature. You put him anywhere, he can be quiet. He can't stand. He is in a leading position. When they were accusing Saint Stephen, the Bible said to us that all the witnesses, when they start stoning Saint Stephen, they put their clothes at the feet of a young man called Saul, who became Saint Paul. And in another place in Acts 9, if I remember correctly, it says that Paul was satisfied of or happy that he was killed. So one of the main characteristics of Saint Paul, or the powerful personality, he's a leader. He takes action and he leads. As well, he is very loyal. When he does something, he does it from his heart, honestly, with loyalty. Either right or wrong, doesn't matter. But I am doing it sincerely from all my heart. I am doing it honestly because I believe that this is what should be done. And he said about himself here, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. He learned that from his fathers. This is what I'm following. I'm doing it. Even killing? Yes. Killing is something good? Of course not. But he feels, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself said to us that a time will come when people will kill you and they think they are offering service to God. So he was killing honestly and loyal to his religion, to his thought. Yeah, these are bad people. They are blaspheming according to my law, according to my Sharia, according to my belief, according to my religion. They should be killed. This is a commandment from God to be killed. So he was killing, but loyal to his belief. This is the verse that I just said to you, that people will kill you and they think they offer service to God. He is so honest and loyal to the point that when he is bad, he is extremely bad. He's like the worst. When he come to Christ, he changes his life. He started being a good. In almost no time, he changed to be extremely good. He doesn't waste time, this guy. He's bad, he's bad. He's good, he's good. So he doesn't have something in the middle. What is the difference between the three different personalities in this area? The powerful, he has fast action. If he is bad, he's going very fast like a train in one direction. You cannot stop him. When he changed the direction, take the action, he becomes a very good servant, becomes a very good leader in the church. His service is fiery. He's amazing. The peaceful, he has a very soft skin, and he can be scratched very easily. You have to spend a lot of time and effort, and you are very careful in touching him so you don't hurt him. So by the time he starts, he might take long time. The popular, Saint Peter, the one that we said before, he's wobbling. 1 year up, 1 year down. It depends on the mood. He can be amazing in his service, and then next year, not in the mood, is not feeling like it. So these are different types of personality. The point that Rama said in the beginning, he's very bold, he's zealous, and very sharp when he speaks. In the book of Galatians, by the way, is a very rich book, and is one of the first epistles that St. Paul wrote. He wrote it about year 49, and is very rich epistle. In this epistle, there was a problem. Started in this church. What was the problem in this church? In the beginning of the service, God appeared to St. Peter with all type of animals coming down from heaven, and he said to him, go slaughter and eat. No, God, I don't eat these unclean animals. But I told you, eat from it. And that was the opening of the door for the Gentiles to come to Christ. So they start preaching to the Gentiles. And then Saint Paul, not from any human or not from anyone, as he started this epistle by, he became an apostle to the Gentiles. Some of the Jews that came to Christianity, they start making a big fuss and problem. Say, oh, no. Yeah, salvation of Christ is more than enough. And yes, we have the salvation through the blood of Jesus. That's all good. But, and this is a problem, 90%, 99%, Jesus is enough. But you have to be circumcised. You have to go through the follow the Jewish traditions and Jewish rites. And there was a council in Jerusalem for this problem, and they decided, no, Gentiles who become Christian doesn't need to go through Judaism. And St. Peter, he is the first one who started teaching the Gentiles. But as we are, most of us do, we have opinion about something and we are open-minded, but in certain situation, okay, I like everybody, but because whatever circumstances, I'll just try to hide a little bit. So St. Peter was eating with the Gentiles, celebrating with them, doing everything with them. And then St. James, Ya'ub al-Arabi, St. James came to visit him. And he was a very strong Jewish person, and he was surrounded by very strong Jewish people. So when he came over, St. Peter started stepping back and not eating with the Gentiles, lest they say, ah, this is not right, this is not clean, these people didn't go through all the customs. So he's trying to hold the stick from the middle. When these people go away, I'll just go back and be my normal life with the Gentile. And then when the Jewish comes, no, I'm not sitting with them. I make my distance. So see what St. Paul said to St. Peter. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. In Arabic, لُمْتَهُ لَأَنَّهُ كَانَ مَلُومًا. He's very strong. As Rama said to us in the beginning, bold. I stood him to his face because he was blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were in the circumcision. In this couple of verses, it is very clear the difference between the popular, the showy, and the powerful. No. What is right is right. And it was very dangerous because that was a very sneaky way of getting a wrong teaching in the Christianity from the beginning. So if the apostles start making this differentiation and giving some compromise to the Jews, we will have today lots of the Jewish tradition in our Christian life. But this is not it, because God opened the door for the Gentiles the same way as. So he was here zealous about the teaching of Christianity. And in another situation, in the same chapter just before it, I will not read it, but they were trying to force someone from the Gentiles, his name is Titus, to be circumcised and follow the Jewish tradition. And he says here, we did not yield submission even for 1 hour. St. Paul is very sharp. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Either white or black. He doesn't stay in the middle. He is very courage, this guy. Not gonna read all that, you can read it. But he went through so many torture in his life. He was beaten, he was stoned, he was in the ship and it was broken. But he is very courage in his preaching, to the point that one of the prophets came from Jerusalem and said, took the belt of St. Paul, and he put it around his hand, and he said, the man who has this belt will go to Jerusalem, and the Jewish will take him and send him to the Gentiles, and they will torture or kill him. When the other disciples heard that, oh, no, Paul, don't go there. Please, we love you. Don't go there. And they start weeping. It seems that most of the disciples were from the peaceful personality. They start weeping. No, 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 don't go there. But St. Paul said, what are you doing? Are you weeping and crying and breaking my heart? I'm not willing just to be tortured for his name. I'm willing to be even killed for the name of Christ. This is how courageous he is. He doesn't care about his life. And we see from all the problem that happens in his life, and I highlighted it and I underlined it for you here. I just want to take one example of this torture that happened to St. Paul. Once they stoned him and they thought that he is dead. He was unconscious. And they left him thinking that he's dead. The disciple take him and try to treat him. The first thing he did when he came back to his conscious, put yourself in his place. I feel shy to put myself in his place, I can't. But someone stoned to death and he lost conscious, lost so much blood. They just treated his wound, maybe give him some water, put some oil in his wound. You have someone coming from a problem and he's doing physio. How long physio take for someone to go back to normal? Depends. What is the first thing he did? What do you think? If you are in this situation, what is the first thing you will do? For me, I'll be in bed for a couple of months. I'm not strong like him. You know what is the first thing he did? He stood up, he walked back to the city and started preaching. Unbelievable. He is fiery. He is a fiery servant. And he is very, very courageous. The last point that I want to say in his courage is generosity. In the tradition of the Jews, everyone has to have two jobs. A professional job and another job that is handy. So if he lost his professional job, he worked on the other job. What was the job of St. Paul? Tent maker. And this is a very tough job. Is anyone of the ladies here know how to sew clothes? It is not an easy job. But if you are sewing a soft fabric, it's of course much better than sewing a very thick fabric. Like if you are trying to sew something in a jeans or a mattress cover or something like that, you have to use a big needle and you have to push it through. Do you imagine doing that for 8 hours a day? He was working very hard. Though he's saying clearly here that the scripture said that those who preach the gospel, they deserve to eat from that. They deserve to take their income, to take their salary from that. But he said, no, I don't want to put any load on anyone. Not only that, but he was working hard to save money to give to the poor and the needy and the necessity and the needs of the churches. So he was working hard, not just to take care of himself, but to take care of himself. The people are working in the ministry with him, and to be able to send help and support to the other churches that is in need. And he says here clearly in Acts 20:34, but on the opposite he said, yes, you yourself know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. It's 2:05 now. I'll stop here. We studied the strengths of the personality of St. Paul. Next lesson, in God willing, we will take the weakness of this personality and the treatment of the Lord. And this is a very rich lesson, as I said to you, because some of the characteristics, like being bold, can be very important in following the true teaching, and it can be very harsh that make you lose so many people. Yes. Yes, it's better to, because the weakness is very deep, and I don't want to leave you with a bad image of St. Paul. وبعد كده يزعل مني. I will show you right after the weakness how God treated this weakness and make it to strength that He is using for His own glory for the service. And the glory be to God forever. Amen.